This is the Chamber Chat Podcast, the show dedicated to chamber professionals to spark ideas and to get actionable tips and strategies to better serve your members and community.
And now, your host. He's very consistent with his morning routine. He's my dad, Brandon Burton.
Welcome to the Chamber Chat Podcast. This is Brandon Burton, your host, and I'm here to introduce you to people and ideas to help you better serve your chamber members and your community. Our guest today is Brad Lacey from Conway, Arkansas. Brad is a native of Ida, Arkansas, and he began his economic development career in 1997 with the Arkansas Economic Development Commission as a community development consultant and later a project manager, where he worked to recruit companies to the state. Brad has served as the president and CEO of the Conway Development Corporation, the city of Conway's nonprofit economic development entity, since 2000. In December of 2006, Brad became the president and CEO of the Conway Area Chamber of Commerce. It marked the first time in nearly two decades that the Chamber and CDC, the Conway Development Corporation, not the other CDC, have been under the same leadership of the same person. The combined management of both organizations brings the city a larger staff to focus on economic development activities. In 2013, the Conway Area Chamber of Commerce was named National Chamber of the Year by ACCE, and in 2018 was named runner-up. Brad holds a bachelor's degree in geography from the University of Central Arkansas and a master of public administration from the University of Arkansas, Little Rock. He's a graduate from the Community Development Institute at UCA and the Economic Development Institute at the University of Oklahoma, and is a U.S. Chamber of Commerce Institute for Organizational Management. He is a member of Conway's Second Baptist Church. Brad is a former member of the University of Central Arkansas's Board of Trustees and served two terms on the Board of Regents for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce West Institute of Organization Management. I'm excited to have Brad with me on the podcast today. I had first come across the Conway Area Chamber probably a year and a half ago, as I saw a video on YouTube of a parody off of High School Musical. But I'll let Brad get more into that as we get into the episode right after this quick break.
Would you be interested in creating even more value from the processes that you're already doing on a daily basis? Swipit has been one of my sponsors for Chamber Chat from the beginning. Swipit provides credit card payment solutions that will save your chamber up to 40% on your processing fees, and Swipit can integrate your credit card processing seamlessly into your existing membership software. Swipit does not charge chambers to switch, and they will make switching simple. In addition to these savings, Swipit has an affinity program for Chambers of Commerce, so you can earn more non-dues revenue to support your budget. Learn more about Swipit by requesting your free cost savings analysis and become more profitable today by visiting chamberchatpodcast.com/CC, as in credit card. Again, that's chamberchatpodcast.com/CC, and you can join many other chambers as you begin swiping with Swipit.
All right, Brad, we are back. Thank you for joining us here on the Chamber Chat Podcast. I'd like you to just take a moment and say hello to all the chamber champions that are out there listening and share something interesting about yourself so we can all get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, so, I introduced myself as a recovering economic developer. if you look at my resume, I was really economic development focused, and I would say kind of traditional economic development recruitment type activities. And then when the CDC hired me, I sat in the front of the chamber office as a director of an EDO and watched the chamber, and then had the opportunity to lead both organizations. And so I always took pride in knowing I wasn't doing chamber things, especially like festivals, which we do a huge festival. And we can talk about that if you want. But so now I find myself just, 13, 14 years later, doing all of those things and loving them and loving the people in this industry. And so I say I'm a recovering economic developer as an intro often. So
that's right.
But I still do economic development.
Not fully recovered yet, but yeah.
Yeah. It never will be. I mean, that's always in my blood and my start. And that's a very important part of what we do for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, along those lines, tell us a little bit about your organization. You've got the chamber side, economic developments. I mean, they're two separate organizations, but
that's right.
Tell us a little bit about the structure, size, location, staff, how things look from your perspective.
Yeah. So Conway is a principal city in the Little Rock metro area. So the city's about 70,000 people. About 20 miles north of Little Rock. We're very young. Median age is about 26 or 27. Kind of the secondary job market in that MSA. So people would tend to categorize us as a suburb, and there is a portion of our population that's kind of suburban in nature and that will get in a car and drive to Little Rock every day. But have our own economy. We have, several thousand people that drive into Conway every day to work. So the business community is very robust, and that really gives us a pretty robust organization. So there's the CDC, again, not to be confused with Centers for Disease Control, right. Which in this year is much more famous or infamous than it ever was. Conway Development Corporation is a sister organization to the Chamber. So the Chamber started in 1891 as really a way to recruit higher ed into the city. And they were very successful. So they mobilized three different times and recruited three institutions of higher education into Conway between 1891 and 1907. So the Chamber has about 1,200 members. The Development Corporation has fewer members, but really more assets because we own a lot of land and buildings and things like that. And then we have a downtown organization that has its own board. We have a contract with our city to run the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and that's really the only public money we get. So we are very, very revenue driven. We tend to figure out how to make money and have to in order to keep everything afloat. So our staff, we have 18 people on staff. So it's not a small organization.
Absolutely. Thank you for that perspective. That'll help as we get into our topic today. So when people hear the things that you're doing there in Conway, either they can say, I can do that too, maybe. Absolutely. Or, wow, yeah, that makes sense why they can do it. So our topic for discussion today will be centered primarily around annual meetings, and I'm putting the spin on it of annual meetings done right. And I say that because the little teaser as I was introducing this episode was I came across your chamber through, I think it was a YouTube video a year and a half ago, with the, I think it was High School Musical. I've never seen the movie, yes. High School Musical, so I'm making the comparison. But you guys have done a number of these kind of, I guess, for lack of a better term, a kind of a parody off of these more well-known videos, whether it's Breakfast Club or Greatest Showman, some of these very well-known movies that you've been able to adapt into introducing a theme for your annual meetings. Would you like to dive into that and kind of explain what I mean by that? I plan on sharing some of these videos, if that's all right, in our show notes, sure, so people absolutely can check them out.
Well, if I go back to 2006, when the Chamber Board then approached me about taking that responsibility in addition to running the ED organization, I had the benefit, really, as I said, of sitting in this building and watching sort of the chamber struggle at times. And so I had some idea about, you know, what was going on and just some observations that I had. One is that the annual meeting was really not good. And so, I mean, I was kind of forced to go to it because, you know, I was an ally of the organization. And so, you know, it was this terrible lunch that was a buffet that had a speaker. Like one year there was a guy that was like a retired, maybe AT&T person who was a magician. And so it was like the speaker. And so,
yeah, I probably had some chamber chicken to chew on while you watch it, right?
It was terrible. And so that had always been in December, and they started talking to me in October. And what I also found out was that they didn't make money off of it. They were actually losing money on it. So I was like, why are we doing this? Like there has to be a way to do this better. I mean, if we're anything organizationally, we should be good at convening people, right? I mean, like that's one of the things that we should do well is convene people. And so if we're going to convene people to really celebrate, we should be celebrating not only our organization, but our community. And we just weren't doing it very well. And so I asked that board, I said, yeah, I will take this role, but I want to cancel the annual meeting.
They're like, hold on. Yeah.
I do not want to do that. I don't want to be associated with it. I don't want people to think I did this. And so I said, I want to cancel the annual meeting for December, and then let's reinvent it in March of the following year. And so they agreed. And, you know, the thought was that you make it, I guess the goal was to make it sort of the ticket to have for the year, like make it the biggest event in the community for the year. And essentially, I think that's what we've done. Is created this environment where, you know, our internal goal is shock and awe. Like, we want people to walk in and just sort of flip out at, you know, what's going on. And we also want a lot of anticipation on what are they going to do this time.
Yeah. So it's going to be the same old, why go? Right.
So now we've raised the stakes like year after year after year. And it's like, so what's going to be next? Well, how are they going to top that? What are they going to do now? But really the important thing is it is your opportunity to, celebrate not only what you've done organizationally, but tell the story of your community. What makes you special. And we would say it's your opportunity to get people to drink the Kool-Aid again. Yeah. Like we use it as that sort of mile marker in a 12-month calendar to remind people why they invest in our mission. Like, here's why you invest in us. Like, if you have forgotten, this is why you do it. And, people feel great about the community after that event. You know, I also say when I'll teach an events class at Institute, and I think chambers tend to take themselves way too seriously. I mean, like, we are not operating on someone's brain. We're not. You know,
this is breaking news. No,
yes, breaking news. You know, you're not, I mean, like, what you're doing is critical, in my opinion, to the success of your community. Yeah. But you're not operating on someone's brain. So, like, you can have fun.
Yeah.
And this is an experience-driven economy. I mean, people will pay you for experiences, and regardless of how important or wealthy someone is in your community, whatever CEO that person is, they're still a human being.
Yeah.
And they still enjoy something. And so our experience has been that those people enjoy this. I mean, I had a CEO from a company that attended 1 year, and then the next day I got a call from his assistant who said he would really like to be your speaker because he had such a great time. Huh. And so we always, for people that haven't come, we always say, imagine every chamber annual meeting you've been to. This is the opposite of that.
I love it.
Because it's true. It is the opposite of that. I mean, like, you know, if you look at The Greatest Showman, the year we did that, I mean, we just capitalized on the incredible success that movie had. So, you know, that came out right maybe in December. Our annual meeting is in March. And so in January, we sort of decided we were going to go down that road and flip it to be called The Greatest City. And so Every year, that theme is really about the thing that we believe makes Conway special, which is this sort of community-driven leadership, where all these people, you know, throughout the history of the city, all these people have always pulled together to do bigger things than you would think would be possible.
Yeah.
And so we always like to remind people of that. And I will always close the meeting by saying, you know, look, the only thing we're doing is holding a mirror up and letting you see yourselves.
That's awesome.
In a different way. I mean, that's what we do. Like we don't, you know, we're not even doing some of this stuff, but we're reminding you of what you did.
So I think that is a great point. And so with this being a very audio medium, see how you can try to paint the picture in our minds, if you will, going from because I think you did a great job with the retired AT&T magician. We can all picture that, right?
Sure. So,
what is a Conway Area Chamber annual meeting look like today? Maybe so, not today, but maybe before, you know, pre-COVID.
Right. So it's sold out at 1,200 seats. So, I mean, we'll always sell out. So we actually take three. So it needs to be important. It needs to inspire, but it also needs to be very profitable. So we make a lot of money on that event, and we've watched it grow year over year over year. You know, like maybe the first year we kind of started on this, we grossed like maybe 70,000, which was double what it had been prior to that. Well, in 2019, we grossed almost 210,000.
Wow.
And so we net out, you know, I don't know what, 150 maybe, but anyway, it's a big chunk of money to come in. So we go into it with those things in mind, and some of that profitability comes from a partnership we have with one of our universities, and we take their student health services building. So the big multi-purpose facility where all the kids go work out. So there's a pool and there's a gym and there's racquetball courts and whatnot.
Yeah.
So we take the basketball courts. So there's three of them back to back. We take those offline for 4 days and we create a convention center in there. Okay. But because which sounds crazy, you know, bringing in a floor and pipe and drape and lighting and sound and all that, but it is still less expensive to do that because they really charge us almost nothing to use this facility. And then we use some of their labor on putting some of that stuff in. So we start out with a really kind of black box, if you will, and then we build on top of that. So if you were to look at The Greatest Showman, and you can see it when you watch that video, We try to create just this environment that, again, sort of inspires sort of shock and awe. And so lots of reds. We spend a lot on floral. I never thought as an adult I would talk about floral. Yeah. But I do. And that is a big, that's a big component of it. At that particular one, we hired Arkansas Circus Arts. So it was a group we had worked with on our festival, and they were there. So in sort of this opening number, you'll see like a girl like fall out of the ceiling on a silk above someone's table, you know? And so that was a year we had this huge sort of opening production number, and we actually had to hire someone to choreograph it. Wow. You know, we sort of got 2 weeks out, and we were like, now how are we going to do this exactly? Like, we had conceptualized it, but then it was like, who's going to tell this person where to walk and do whatever? So, you know, we had a choreographer and all this. So, you just come in and it's a great time, and visually it's great, and the food is great. And then the key component of it is we also always have a speaker that is significant to our community's economy. And we've never paid for that speaker. And you shouldn't have to. So we've had CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. We've had the last two sitting governors of our state. You can, with enough notice, get CEO level folks to come in who have an interest in your particular community. And that is a big piece of this because that's a draw in and of itself. We also typically do not let that person get up and speak so we can control time. So we do an interview with that person. Okay. So that we control that block of time. And it really ends up being 15 minutes because if you just turn the podium over to somebody, they might go 45 minutes, and then you start losing some of the speed with which you can get through all of this.
And you probably lose some of the momentum that you built up at the beginning of the meeting as well when it drags on for too long.
Yep. Yeah. So that whole theme was, you know, we're just going to plant a flag in the ground that we're the greatest city, and we're going to remind you throughout this evening why we are. What we learned that year was that opening number was so huge that we did lose momentum as we went through the night because, I mean, you start with, you know, girls falling out of the ceiling on silks and, you know, people running through the crowd on stilts and all kinds of stuff. And then you just sort of, it just wasn't as exciting. So then the next year in 19, we built a whole theme around the closing number of High School Musical, which is called We're All in This Together. So once again, we're kind of pushing this theme of, hey, we've always been successful because we've never counted on anybody but us, right? I mean, that's kind of one of the tenets of who we are as a community. And so we knew we had to break this up because we knew the High School Musical number would be the finale. But then how do we lead into that? And then how do we actually keep people's attention? So we looked back at sort of iconic high school television shows and did little vignettes on Saved by the Bell, Happy Days, and The Breakfast Club. And that's in each one of those three, if you watch them sort of all in a row, in each one of those three, we're really talking about what we've accomplished in a year. So Saved by the Bell was really about economic development. I mean, you know, Mr. Belding was giving them a quiz on economic development in Conway, and they were taking that quiz. You know, Happy Days was really about sort of the event world that we produce in a year's time. And then The Breakfast Club was more the quality of place and quality of life amenities that we build as a community and why they're important. And it also spoke a little bit to the diversity. So if you watch any of our stuff, we're very purposeful about making sure people know this is a diverse community, sort of along every metric. And you can send those messages subtly, but still in a very strong way visually with what you show. And so you're gonna see that as we, if you watch that whole package of the 2019 annual meeting with those little vignettes, you'll see all of that sort of play out in front of you.
That's right. And I'll put those videos in the show notes for this episode, which is, it'll be found at chamberchatpodcast.com/episode103. But as you're talking, I was thinking I may try to pull maybe just the audio, if that's all right with you. Sure. The Greatest Showman one, and maybe sure. Tack it on the end of this episode. So if they can't sure. see the video, at least they get the audio of how you guys did it. So
yep.
I was going to ask, like, for example, with the High School Musical, We're All in This Together closeout.
Yeah.
Is that playing the video on the screen? Is that how that's presented? Or how do you, because these video productions are, I mean, top notch, really. I mean,
yeah.
I should nominate you for MTV Music Award, you know?
Well, I never thought I would portray Zac Efron's character as a middle-aged man, but I did. With that one, we just use local people. And the one thing that I didn't say is that in all of those videos that you see, those are local folks. I mean, in the Happy Days package, Richie is the CEO of one of our two hospitals, and Chachi is the other CEO of the hospital. And so, I mean, these are like our biggest investors, the CEO of, you know, a $500 million organization. And I think it goes back to what I said before, which is everyone is so serious. Sometimes people are so serious in the chamber world. It's like, oh, well, we have to be so serious, and everyone has to wear a suit, and everyone has to do this and that. Well, it's no, you don't. Yeah. Like, again, these are just people, right? And so we've never had anyone turn us down when we've asked them to be a part of this. That's and awesome. And it really is part of the DNA of who we are as a community. And people love it. I mean, people love watching it on the big screens in the room that night. You know, I mean, it's just, you just hear audible laughter throughout the hall when these things come up, because sometimes they're so ridiculous.
They're seeing people they know on the big screen, right? So right. You know, there's that personal connection that really ties into it.
Like Mr. Belding was in the Saved by the Bell. Mr. Belding is our mayor.
Okay.
And so you just have this great participation from everyone, you know, in the finale, in the We're All in This Together finale, there's this little dance scene where Croaker is our mascot for our festival, and Croaker's a toad. And so we have this kid in Croaker who's dancing. He's like going crazy dancing in the Croaker costume. Well, leading up to Croaker, you have the UCA, University of Central Arkansas president. He dances. Then the Hendricks College president dances, and then Croaker dances. And so you're wondering, well, who's Croaker? Croaker's really dancing. I mean, Croaker's doing some pelvic thrusts. He's like, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. Well, then we arrange this shot where Croaker takes his head off, and it's Terry Kimbrough, who's the president of Central Baptist College, which is our real conservative church school. It's so like, there's this moment in live where, you know, it's the UCA president, the Hendricks president. Oh my gosh, they didn't ask CBC. Here's Croaker dancing. Croaker takes his head off, and it's Terry Kimbrough. And like the room goes crazy. Like, I mean, there's just like thunderous applause that here's this gag that we did, right? And then Terry says the next week that as this thing went viral, and it did go viral. I mean, it had a lot of views, and we were on the local CBS affiliate, The Morning Show. They picked it up in the Little Rock market the next day. And anyway, Terry said that a lot of his, he said that that gave him a lot of street cred with some of his students that that video. So everybody just participates in it, and it just leaves you feeling really great about where you live. And one of the most important things I think we have a responsibility to do as an organization is to inspire people and to make people believe that things are possible. Yeah, you know, I mean, we're some days we're cheerleaders, some days we're prophets, some days we're hated. Yeah. It's just like, it's the nature of this job, but we really need to be inspirational. We really need to give hope to people.
Absolutely. So I think you painted a great picture of kind of that transition from what the annual meetings were to how you kind of build up that tension and really make a great production event. I think we need to touch on the topic of the money before we wrap up this discussion, because you said before they were losing money. Now you guys are doing pretty well on the financial side of it. Besides ticket sales and sponsorships, are there any other things that other chambers need to be considering when it comes to drawing revenue out of an annual meeting like this?
You know, I think for us, what we saw is we started, you know, at what I would consider a baseline. It was better than what we had ever done. And so you can only charge so much for that. And then you just sort of up your game year after year after year. You add more production, you add more sizzle, you add more stuff, and then you raise the price as you go around. And sometimes adding sizzle and adding stuff doesn't necessarily add a lot of cost to you. It's just being innovative, dreaming a little bit, figuring out how to maximize, you know, your time while you're there. And so to give you some examples, like if you go back to 2007, when we kind of started this journey of this big annual meeting, our top sponsorship was $5,000. Well, now the top sponsorship is $20,000.
All right.
And so we didn't get there obviously overnight, but over time, as we raised the quality of what we did, people were willing to pay more for it.
Yeah.
And I go back to this idea that we live in this experience economy where people want to be entertained.
Yeah.
You know, like they want to come in, and we feel this way about all of our events. One, there's an internal sort of litmus test that if I would not go to that event, if I did not work for the chamber, then we shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, that's a good litmus test.
I mean, if I didn't want to go to it, then I shouldn't be asking other people to go to it. And so if it doesn't pass that, then we won't do it, or we'll change it and make us want to go to it.
So, you know, with these production level annual meetings, how do you go about setting what budget you spend on it? Is it a percentage of expected revenue? Is it a certain dollar amount going in, or does it change year to year based on what you plan to do?
It doesn't really change a lot. We stay within, you know, we stay within a number that we agree to. We have some really talented folks in the community, but I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of communities have talented people. You know, I mean, technology's definitely changed the way that you can produce things. And you probably have some kid in your high school that could do an incredibly well done video for you that might not cost very much. As you go up, I mean, just like with the High School Musical production, I mean, that was crazy. I mean, we hired a choreographer and we worked with her for weeks ahead of time on these dance moves. And then like we shot one Saturday in a gymnasium, and I have a completely different respect for people who do this for a living, because I was completely worn out. You know, like you keep shooting the same thing over and over again, because there's, you know, 40 people in the shot and one person messes up. So then you go back. And you don't want that person to be you, but then invariably it is you that messes up at some point. Yeah. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I know we need to start wrapping up here. So I wanted to ask you for if you have any tips or advice for any of the chamber champions out there listening that they can do to help take their chamber up to the next level. What would you suggest?
Well, one, I would go back to that litmus test.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't go to this event, whatever that event is, if you wouldn't go, if it wasn't your job to go, then you need to stop and you need to reimagine it. And then if you cannot articulate value, like if you can't put your hand on what the value of that event is to your member, then you have a problem. And then three, again, I would say, don't take yourself so seriously. Yeah. Like you can still provide very valuable content and do it in a way that's fun. And people will pay you more for that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I like to ask this question to everyone that I have on the podcast is we're always looking to the future, and this year's been a little different. Actually, this is coming out in 2021, but 2020 was a little different.
Okay.
How do you see the future of chambers of commerce and their purpose going forward?
Sure. Well, I think chambers have always been good chambers have always been a reflection of the communities that they serve. Right. And so I think they're critically important, and I think they can increasingly become this place where in this politically divided world that we live in, often the work that we do is the type of work where people can meet and agree on things. You know, I look at our boards for our, you know, respective organizations, and they are politically very diverse in what they believe at a national level.
Yeah.
They are not so diverse on what they believe about Conway. And we are the convener of those people. And we are the place that we find agreement on things that are important to our community. And the reality is, and I think we learned this years ago. I mean, if you go back, you know, I said our birthright is recruiting colleges. So in 1891, there were 1,200 people in this town, and they form a chamber of commerce to raise $50,000 to recruit Hendricks College here. Well, they did not depend on anyone at the state capitol or in Washington, D.C. to do that for them.
Yeah.
And I think that the theme of who we are as a community is that we learned a long time ago not to wait on someone else to help us. And so we're going to figure out what we need to do as a community and do it. And more often than not, those are things that everyone can agree on. And we are the conduit for that agreement. We are the convener of those people. And I think that chambers are incredibly important and can be an important tool in moving their communities forward, just as they have been from day one.
Yeah. I love that. Being a convener for unity in your community. Yep. That's awesome. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to share any contact information for anyone listening who might want to reach out and connect with you about anything that you've shared or continue this discussion offline. What would be the best way for them to reach out and connect?
Yeah, absolutely. So my email is brad@conwayarkansas.org, and Arkansas is all spelled out. And then obviously, phone, you can call 501-327-7788. And either one of those, you'll get me.
All right. And I will put those in our show notes as well, along with those videos that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Again, that'll be found at chamberchatpodcast.com/episode103. And Brad, I thank you so much for spending some time with us today here on Chamber Chat Podcast. You guys are doing some awesome things, and
you
can't help but get a smile to your face when you watch some of these videos, you know, for those listening. So check them out. You won't be disappointed, I promise. But thank you, Brad.
Thanks, Brandon.
If you are a chamber professional, please subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. When you subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast, new episodes will show up in your podcast app each week as they are released. If you're finding value in this podcast, please leave us a rating and a review in iTunes. But most importantly, please share Chamber Chat Podcast with your colleagues that are in the industry. As a podcast listener and as a chamber leader, have you considered the benefits that podcasting could have for your chamber? This is what I like to call the podcast pivot. If you're like many chambers, you're always looking for ways to provide non-involvement value to your member investors. Many chambers are finding that podcasting is a great solution. A podcast platform becomes a media arm for your organization that builds trust in your community, tells the stories about your members as well as your advocacy efforts, and becomes a valuable, tangible asset for non-dues revenue. If you'd like to see if podcasting is a good fit for your chamber, visit chamberchatpodcast.com/pivot to learn more and to gain access to our free chamber podcasting guide. Again, this is found at chamberchatpodcast.com/pivot.